You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I'm Sally, a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs. Excuse me. Hi. What do you think this place needs?
I'd like to see more parking.
More playgrounds.
Free movies.
That's easy. Better restaurants.
Black Information Network.
A 12-year-old Louisiana girl accused of murdering her infant brother.
He was perfect. He was a beautiful baby, and she loved her brother. She loved her brother.
But what the children's aunt, Nicole Brown, can't explain to WWL-TV is why. What happened? What police in Luling, a small town on the west bank of St. Charles Parish, say is because of the ages involved, they can't say much. They do say no weapons were involved. Sources say the big sister may have struck the infant. When police arrived, the baby wasn't breathing. The 12-year-old has been booked. Everyone is devastated.
This is a mother who's lost two children, not just one. That's both of her children. You understand? And people are very, very judgmental. But sometimes you got to look within and think about it could be you tomorrow.
There's calls for the black police chief in Baldwin, Louisiana, to step down over the Kawan Charles case. Critics say he was not around and mishandled the case from the start. Chief Harry Smith Jr. denies that and tells KLFY-TV his officers got right on it.
And myself and the assistant chief let the officers know to kind of be on the lookout for the kid.
What he did not do was trace Kawan Charles' cell phone, and they were able to find the 15-year-old within hours. Dead, though, in ankle-deep water in a sugarcane field. Police say he drowned. The family says there is more to it because his face was battered. The sheriff's department is now heading the investigation.
Kyle Rittenhouse is free on $2 million bail. Rittenhouse, the white 17-year-old from Illinois, who brought an assault rifle to an anti-police violence protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin over the summer, where police say he shot two protesters dead and severely injured a third, was able to walk out of jail Friday pending his trial. The money raised by his team of lawyers with connections to far-right contributors. Rittenhouse expressing no regrets, telling the Washington Post he's glad he had his weapon.
I was going into a place where people had guns, and God forbid somebody brought a gun to me and decided to shoot me. I wanted to be protected, which I ended up having to protect myself.
Reports are the teenager purchased the AR-15 style rifle using stimulus and unemployment money.
It was a deadly bet, allegedly between managers at the Tyson Foods plant in Waterloo, Iowa. Just how many workers would die of COVID-19? Winner take all. Those managers are suspended, but now former Obama Attorney General Eric Holder has been hired to get to the bottom of it. Tyson Foods brought in Holder to see what's going on at the plant. There's a lawsuit by workers, and they say managers ignored employees who displayed COVID-19 symptoms, insisting they work anyway. There's reports at least five workers at the plant died of the coronavirus.
Deadly chaos in Uganda. The streets erupting over the arrest of Bobby Wine. Reports are 37 people have been killed. The pop star turned presidential candidate is popular among the young people and a nemesis to current president Yoweri Museveni, who has been in power in Ethiopia since 1986. Wine was arrested for violating COVID restrictions. The 38-year-old drew a large crowd during a campaign rally. There are others running for president, but Bobby Wine seems to inspire the streets. I'm Vanessa Tyler, along with Mike Stevens, on the Black Information Network.
When you call Zing Health, you'll find Zing offers something unique from other Medicare Advantage plans. You find a warm voice who understands how to navigate the Medicare maze, someone who helps you pick the right Medicare Advantage plan for you. When you call Zing Health, you find a trusted health advisor, and it feels amazing. Call Zing Health today, 866-946-4458 to learn more, or visit us at zinghealth.me.
Zing Health is a Medicare Advantage HMO plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Zing Health HMO plans depends on contract renewals. Zing Health complies with applicable federal civil rights laws and does not discriminate on the basis of race, color, national origin, age, disability, or sex.
The views expressed on our programs are not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
Broadcasting live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's T.O. Hardiman, Mr. Ceasefire, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Good morning, everybody in Chicagoland and all throughout Cook County. T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardeman coming to you live this morning here on WVON 1690 AM, The Talk of Chicago. I wanted to start out with Brother James Brown. You can have that Watergate, but give me some bucks and I'll be straight. And the main hook is I need some money. If it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense, brothers and sisters. So we want everybody to get them some money, right? Because, you know, you got a new president, you got a lot of things going on. But I don't think everything matters unless you're making some money out there, right, in the process. You feel me? That's what I want to put that out there for everybody this morning here. And first of all, I want to thank God also for allowing me to be here this morning. And yesterday I celebrated 32 years of uninterrupted sobriety, put it like that, 32 years. Now, that's amazing, man. I know I haven't ran the streets in 32 years, Terry Bishop. 32
We're
years.
Proud of you, man.
That's right. I feel good about that.
Keep
that's amazing. That's right. That's right. So with that being said, I'll go right to my sponsors. We got Youth Connection Charter Schools. We want you to know, everybody in the universe should know, if you have a young person in your family between the ages of 16 and 21 years old, and they have dropped out of high school, they can enroll at Youth Connections Charter School by visiting the website at yccs.org. So do not allow that teenager or that young adult to just sit around. They can enroll in high school at youthconnectionscharterschool.org. And everything, all the classes are online right now, so they don't have to worry about crossing no lines to go to school. Everything is online. Now, I did hear through the grapevine that a lot of the schools will be back in person, will start back in person in January, but we'll take it one day at a time because this COVID-19 is real serious. It's nothing to play with, so we have to be extremely careful in spite of whatever we may feel, all right? So let me put some numbers out there for you as always. Throughout the United States, we have 12 million cases of COVID-19, 255,000 people dead. That's 255,905 people have died from COVID-19. And you got vaccines that might be produced by the end of 2020. So there may be a vaccine. So today, what I plan to take on the topic of the Georgia Senate race, all right? The Georgia Senate race and the pros and cons of Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot. We plan to have a very professional, positive discussion about the pros and cons of Lori Lightfoot's administration and some of her policies before I take on a couple of calls this morning. But I do have Dr. Rhonda calling in to discuss the Georgia Senate race, and I may have a couple of people call in from Georgia. But the reason I selected You Can Have Your Watergate, But Give Me Some Bucks, I'll Be Straight is because, to me, no matter who gets in office, will they look out for black folks in America? Will they look out for black folks in Chicago? That's what I'm talking about. All the brothers and sisters living in extreme poverty, that's who I'm concerned about. All the people living from one paycheck to another paycheck, that's who I'm concerned about. So we got some calls coming in already this morning. I just want to make sure now, right before I take the calls, there are three ways you can support T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardeman. Number one, you can visit my website, violenceinterrupters.org, and you can make a donation via Square. I have the Square, process on my website. You can visit my website, violenceinterrupters.org, and you can make a donation to Violence Interrupters organization. And you can also purchase your hoodies and T-shirts, Violence Interrupter hoodies and T-shirts. And also, if you're interested in advertising on my radio show, feel free to give me a call at 773-391-9072. Give me a call. 773-391-9072. So I want to thank you. I had to get all that out the way for starters. And let's bring on my first call. We got Brother Hall waiting on the line. Let's see what Brother Hall is talking about.
Yeah, good morning, Brother Till. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm always good.
Good, 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 good. Yeah, you were just speaking about the least of the. They actually, we call them the dry bones of the valley.
Okay.
And you're absolutely right. We need to make sure that they're taken care of from a holistic approach. type of things that affects our community that it appears that it's never addressed. Even after the elections, you know, we participate, but we don't get a return on our investment. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can collectively come together as a group to do that. And that leads to one of the reasons why I called, Bertil. Today, the hot skillet would be dedicated to Mayor Harold Washington.
Okay.
I urge the listening audience to listen to that 3-minute piece, because actually it's a dedication to him. We actually will be doing it as well Wednesday at the gravesite. Okay. However, it's going to be a virtual thing because they won't allow us to have a group of people. We only allow 10.
And so, let me ask this, Brother Hall. So why did you all select Wednesday? Is that some type of celebration or some type of monumental day as it relates to Brother Harold Washington?
No question. Absolutely. He died on that date.
Okay, gotcha.
And so that's one of the reasons why we did it. And then here's the thing, Teal. We have to teach our young people history.
Okay.
You know, I talked with a young man maybe about 2 weeks ago, and I just said, you know, you remember Mayor Harold Washington? He said, no, I was too young. He said, but I'm in the library now studying up on Mayor Washington and others. So they are engaging. You know, we just have to actually put it out there and make sure that these guys are participating. They want to participate, but we got to have the knowledge too as well to put it in front of them. And let me just say this to you. I really, 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 brother, appreciate your spirit. I appreciate your show. You're right. We have to support your show and get you more time as well.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
Because this is we need people who speak truth to power. And certainly you have been doing that, and we certainly appreciate that. I'll call you a little later on this evening, but yes. I'm urging the listening audience at 4 today on the Robert McKay Show to listen to the Hot Skillet. It'll be a dedication to Mayor Harold Washington.
Okay, I appreciate you, Brother Hall, as always. So I keep Harold Washington's family in my prayers. And, as far as my recollection, Harold Washington was a good man, and he had to deal with the city council wars with a lot of the prejudice aldermen back in that day and time. You know, call them obstructionist type of aldermen. You know, some of the names, you know, I'm not going to get into all the names, but you know who I'm talking about.
I do know you're talking about. And actually, when you hear the dedication of the song that I wrote and produced, it speaks to that.
Gotcha.
Be sure to check it out this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Yeah, on the Hot Skillet, say that time once again to remind all the listeners.
It'll be at 4 o'clock on the Robert McKay Show. And we can't wait to roll that out. Today is the dedication to Mayor Harold Washington.
Sounds good, my man. Appreciate you, Brother Hall.
Thank you.
All right. So, Dr. Rhonda, before we bring Dr. Rhonda on, I plan to bring on Mama D, Dr. Rhonda. So just hang in there for me, Dr. Rhonda. So let's see what Mama D is talking about this morning here. And remember, my topics this morning is the Georgia Senate race. How important is the Georgia Senate race and the pros and cons of Mayor Lori Lightfoot and some of her policies when it comes to black folks here in Chicago? So, Mama D, you're on the air.
Hallelujah. Greetings. Mayor Lightfoot used her executive order pen the day after she found out that blacks were dying from the virus at 72%. She passed a bill using the executive order plan, as I said, guaranteeing 19 benefits to sanctuary settlers.
Right.
Three of them included $100 million in small business loans, each $1,000 check, and 100,000 remote learning devices for sanctuary settlers' children. So she has totally abandoned us, along with that consent decree that she was a part of getting, but it's not being enforced. Now, I really wanted to talk to you about
So, Mama D, let me interrupt you just for a second, because I really love what you're talking about, because I spoke about this myself on my social media, and a lot of people were upset with me. But this is the thing. I'm glad you brought that up. So what I did my research as well. So, that, you know, the mayor put forth the COVID-19 relief fund for undocumented people. Now, check it out, Mama D. You got 7 communities in Chicago that are predominantly black communities where 40% of the people live in extreme poverty, which are black people. And they would love to have a check for $1,000, a single black mother out there with 4 or 5 kids that's on welfare. Don't you think they would love to have a $1,000 check, extra check every month, Mama D?
Not only that, but the homeless would like that check. The yes. returning citizens from prisons would like to have that check. But this is what she gave to statuary members wow. who cannot vote. And so, as I said, and when it comes to that consent decree, she was part of, while she was on the board before she became mayor, so she knows all about it. But they haven't did anything on that consent decree to stop the police violence against our people. So she has totally abandoned us as a group. She's smart-mouthed and disrespects all the aldermen and threatens them and bullies them.
I really
don't know what her problem is. But at this rate, you can bet she'll be a one-term mayor.
Got you, Mama
G. She's been in there too long already.
My sister, I want to thank you for that call. I really appreciate you because when I bring up the subject matter, people become very upset with me sometimes. But it's okay. I'm speaking truth to power. When I'm looking at policies, I'm not looking at personalities. We're looking at policies, not personalities, all right? So with that being said, we're going to transition a little bit because Dr. Rhonda's back on the line, and we're going to talk about how important the Georgia Senate race is when it comes down to the U.S. Senate and everything that's going on with the Biden-Kamala Harris administration. Did I get her name right? Kamala?
Kamala.
I want to make sure I get it right, Dr. Rhonda, before Kamala. All right. Okay. So let's bring Dr. Rhonda on the phone line, and I appreciate you calling in, young lady.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm always doing good. I cannot complain. I'm up and early this morning doing what we have to do to educate the masses of the people. But how about you? How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, and I think what you just said is the key word this morning, educate. So in terms of the Georgia Senate race, I think one of the things that we need to stress and is that we need to do everything we can to make sure that Reverend Raphael Warnock and Jonathan Ossoff
okay.
are elected to the Senate because if we don't do that, we're going to face the same kind of gridlock that President Obama faced
right.
When he was president. And we've gone through all this trouble. I mean, people came out and voted in record numbers. Black people stood in line for hours on end. And we had just a phenomenal get out the vote effort. And all of that will be for naught if we don't get these two Georgia Senate seats.
Okay.
In order to effectively govern, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are going to have these two Senate seats because then Kamala Harris, as vice president, will be able to break any ties. So that's the first thing I wanted to stress.
Let me just ask you a question as we move forward here because I plan to give you a little time this morning to stress the importance of the U.S. Senate races over in Georgia. So you have two Democrats running against two Republicans in Georgia right now. Is that correct?
Right.
And how close are they're runoff races? So obviously they're very close. Is that correct?
Yeah, they are runoff races, and they okay. are very, very, very close.
Okay.
All kinds of money is pouring into Georgia. First of all, one of the persons running, the woman, I don't even want to say her name,
okay.
but she is a multimillionaire. She's in fact considered the woman with the most money in the Senate. So she's got a lot of
wow.
money to start with.
Okay.
And then money is pouring in from everywhere for them. And let's not forget the important work that our sister, Stacey Abrams, has done.
Right.
I mean, this woman has done masterful work in terms of turning out the vote after I think everybody would agree that, you know, she should be the governor of Georgia, but they suppressed the vote and pulled all kinds of shenanigans and came up with all kinds of dirty tactics and tricks. And she was effectively I would say that that seat was taken from her. Okay. But she didn't get angry and walk away. No, she got smart and just continued doing the kind of work that she was doing to make sure that Black people who had never been really talked to or who were basically dispossessed, she made sure she got out and got them on the voting rolls and explained
to them
the importance. Yeah, you know, voter education, which is something that we used to do pretty routinely around here in Chicago, but it's a lost art. And she picked it back up and ran with it and just did a masterful job of getting not just dispossessed Black people on the rolls, but also, you know, Asians and Hispanics, because they have a pretty large Hispanic population down there. So
in Georgia,
she got all the.
Okay, yeah. So let me play the devil's advocate for you this morning, Dr. Rhonda. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Now, this is just T.O. Hardiman talking to you now. So let's say, does it really, really matter who wins? Because I want you to break it down for everybody that's listening here, and for the other callers just hanging there with us for a little while, because I want the other callers to ask you some questions too, Dr. Rhonda. So check this out. Does it really matter who wins? What's in it for Black folks? How will Black folks benefit in Georgia or throughout the United States dealing with whoever wins this U.S. Senate seat out of Georgia? That's the question I need to ask you. And the reason I asked the question, because I travel the United States extensively, and I noticed that our people are in the same conditions, especially in the so-called ghetto areas, you know, like a Baltimore, Philly, southwest side of Chicago, just to name a few, St. Louis, Missouri, Kansas City, you know, different places. What's in it for Black folks? That's what I need to know.
Right. And so you bring up a good question. Now, let's just step back for a minute and say that there's no way that Biden would be the president-elect without Black people.
Exactly.
So with that as a premise, I want to say that we should have learned a lot under President Obama's administration. Many of us were loath to criticize anything that went on under his administration. And I want to step back and say very unequivocally, you know, I'm proud of him and love him, love his wife, love his family.
Yes.
Think, you know, he's a great person. But the fact of the matter is, as Frederick Douglass said a long time ago, power concedes nothing without a demand. And so we have to make these demands. We can't be starstruck about the fact that we have the first Black woman to be vice president. None of that. You know, we need to be over all of that. And we need to come to the table and make demands. And we don't have to come begging and crying, because we put these people in position to do the work that needs to be done for our community.
Yes, indeed.
So what we need to do is just continue to organize, like Stacey Abrams has. She's given us the blueprint. She's given us the model. We need to make sure that we organize in all these different cities, especially a place like Chicago, which has always been at the vanguard of pressing forward and getting progressive issues on the table.
Okay.
We need to do things like demand, for example, I'm an educator. I feel strongly that we need to demand that Biden and Harris put in a Secretary of Education who is going to once and for all really look at this broken educational system that exists all across the country for our kids. What we've seen with this last election is that ignorance reigns very high in this society.
Yes.
I mean, a person like Trump
indeed
can get in excess of 7 million votes. Are you kidding me?
7 million votes. That's right. That's right.
We have quite the fight on our hands. And, you know, if we look back into our own history, what we know is that Black people know how to educate. See, we got to fall back on the things that we know that we do well. We know how to educate. There was a time when, you know, some of our greatest leaders like Ida B. Wells and Anna Julia Cooper and Margaret Murray Washington, who was Booker T. Washington's third wife, Dr. Du Bois, Septima Clark, you know, who with the NAACP and Thurgood Marshall sued to get fair pay for Black teachers and to make sure that Black teachers were hired in different cities in the South that would not hire Black teachers. We have already done the work.
Okay.
What we need to do now is pull our scholars together and make demands in education, in criminal justice, in business and commerce. And in order for them, getting back to your original question about the Georgia Senate, in order for Biden and Harris to be able to move some legislation and to really get the executive branch going and oiled and in a position to get things done.
Okay.
We need those Senate seats so that they can have the votes. And as I said earlier, Kamala can then break any tie and get legislation on the table. Because right now, so much legislation is sitting on the desk of McConnell. It's not like people haven't been doing some work. The squad, you know, they've been doing work trying to get legislation passed. But you've got a person there who is just obstinate and evil as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, obstinate and stubborn to the highest level.
Right.
And let's do this, Dr. Rhonda, for a minute. My phone lines are lighting up because I might have a few people that want to ask you a couple of questions as we move forward. So we're going to keep Dr. Rhonda on. And let's take Mia. Mia's been waiting on for a little while. Mia?
Good morning, Brother Teo. How are you doing this morning?
All right. How's it going? I'm feeling pretty good.
Good. I just want to know from her about the Reverend who's running for the Senate seat. I think they're trying to dig back in his past and things that he said kind of reminded me of some moments that we had when Barack was running for president with his pastor. Are any of those things true? They're talking about that he said that you can't something about be in the military and do something or whatever. They keep
which candidate are you talking about, Mia? Which one?
Raphael Warnock.
Raphael. Okay.
And I'm glad you brought that question up. So what they're basically saying is that he refused to repudiate the Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright.
Oh.
Well, that's something that we have. That's something that we have to do education around, because make no mistake about it, I also attended Trinity for about 12 years.
Okay.
Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright is one of the most brilliant, compassionate ministers that you're ever going to meet. He's exactly what we want in a minister. When you went to Trinity, they had ministries for any and everything, education, counseling, HIV and AIDS, substance abuse. You know, I mean, you couldn't find a better church operating more effectively in the community. So what we need to do, one of the things that, let me step back and say, one of the things that I'm very proud of, I think for the first time in my lifetime, when people attacked Jeremiah Wright when Barack was running, black people said, no, we're not going for it. You're not going to destroy this man. Mm-hmm. And we have to maintain that position. And in terms of, and another thing, I wrote an article. I was living in Huntsville, Alabama at the time.
Okay.
I wrote an article and set the record straight about Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright. And people, white people, started calling and sending me letters and emails and saying, my gosh, you know, after reading your article, I went on Trinity's website and listened to some of his sermons. And I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed that I even attacked him, because if one white man said in the New York Times, in fact, that after he went and listened to some of Jeremiah Wright's sermons, he was ashamed, and that if he had a minister like Jeremiah Wright, he would go back to church. We have to educate people.
Yeah, let me add this, Mia and Dr. Rhonda, because we got some more calls on, but we're going to keep it going, though. Just let me say this. So for me, as a man speaker, in other words, and a woman, you know, out of respect to everybody, for this guy that's running for U.S. Senate in Georgia, what does him denouncing Jeremiah Wright have to do with his overall, what you might say, work ethic and his work, you know, history and as far as running for U.S. Senate? Does the guy have a solid background, Dr. Rhonda, and he's running? Because it's crazy to me in politics. Here it is, they voted Dr. Trump. They voted Trump in, and this guy here was like a buffoon. This guy was ridiculous in regards to the way that he was handling the United States and everything. So this guy got one issue that has come up, because he might have favor of Dr. Jeremiah Wright, who's a good brother, taking care of a lot of good business for the people. It's kind of crazy to me, Dr. Rhonda, because they always want to bring up something from people's past. I can see if you was a pedophile. I can see if you was a rapist. I can see if you did some unsavory things with some money where you got caught, you've been convicted or something. But that's something to me that's lightweight. It reminds me of the young guy this is a more extreme example, but they executed a young black young man many, many decades ago because he stole a candy bar. Then they found out, you know, come on, man, to me, it's insane. You know, so, I mean, what is it about the candidate? What's his background, Dr. Rhonda?
It's a, it's a distraction that they use, and we can't fall for it. And the other thing is, you know, as a lawyer, it really annoys me that what they're effectively trying to say is that we don't have the right of assembly. We don't have First Amendment rights. We don't have constitutional rights, because you can't tell me who I can associate with. I mean, Trump, for a long time, they were talking about his association with David Duke, a Klansman.
Yes, indeed.
You know, they never asked them to repudiate people. And when they do, you know, Trump scoffs at these requests, right? Because, as you say, it has nothing to do with anything. But for him to collaborate with a Klansman, now that is something to talk about. As it relates to Reverend Warnock, you know, he's the minister of Ebenezer Baptist Church, which is the church that Dr. King was the pastor
of. Got it.
And I would say, you know, just looking at that, you have to know that he must be someone special who can deliver an important and intelligent message just to be at that historic church that has so much tradition.
Well, thank you then, Dr. Brownson, hanging there for 1 second. Now, Mia, what was your question answered?
I want to say one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm encouraging all of my friends in Georgia to vote for him, and I get emails from him asking for money, and I will be giving him money.
Okay, good stuff. But, Mia, I want to thank you for calling. It means a lot to me this morning, okay?
Okay.
Yes, it is. So,
thank you.
All right. So, Dr. Ronnie, we're going to take it.
Yeah, I want to say one other thing about Reverend Warnock. As I understand it, he's a disciple of Reverend James Cone. And Reverend Cone was a brilliant academic who, you know, is one of the ones who pushed forward this notion of liberation theology, where he looked at the Bible and basically talked about some of the different stories, like, you know, the Exodus and some of the important stories that we talk about in our churches. He basically brought those stories and made them relevant to our struggle, our attempts to get out of this oppression that we have been in the midst of for so long.
Okay.
So, you know, these are extraordinary human beings who have done great work in our community, and we can't allow people to knock the brilliance that has been put forth in our community.
So what we're going to do now, Dr. Ronnie, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back, because I want you to tell everybody who you are once again, everything about your career. Just for, I'll give you a couple more minutes as soon as we come back after commercial break. Then we'll get Brother Maurice in. Okay.
Okay.
Commercial break. Yep. We're getting there. Thanks, everybody.
Do they know who you are? They need to know who you are. Let Bishop Promotions of America promote your clothing line, restaurant, political campaign, website, church, and more. Sound and video recording now available. Whatever your project or product, Bishop can make it hot.
This is Terry Bishop, working with your budget to maximize exposure.
Follow him on all social media platforms at hashtag Bishop Promotes You. Contact Terry Bishop today at BishopPromotesYou.com or call 773-392-9866. That's 773-392-9866. Let Bishop promote you.
Hi, T.O. Hardiman here, president of Violence Interrupters Incorporated. You know, there's an old saying that it takes an entire village to raise one child. So let's work together to help end this senseless gun violence here in Chicago, one person at a time. For more information, visit my website at violenceinterrupters.org or call me directly at area code 773-391-9072. 773-391-9072. Together we can win. Peace.
Hey, we're back on the air, everybody. So Dr. Rhonda, before I have you talk a little bit more about who you are, you know, you being a doctor and everything like that, and the work you do, just for a couple of minutes, let me bring Brother Maurice on the line. He might have a question for you as well, okay?
Okay.
So, Brother Maurice. Oh.
Okay.
Maurice?
Good morning, Doctor. Good morning, T.O.
Hey, good to hear from you, young man.
Good morning.
God bless you both. Doctor, when you talk about education, when we talk about education, we have to include economics, which in its simplest form is the science, the study, and the management of wealth. When you go across the country, T.O., when you go across the globe, you see our communities are controlled by other people economically. That is because we do not understand that basic fundamental science, the science, the study, and the management of wealth. Teach that to black people, we will conquer the world because we are conquerors.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you both.
Do you have a question for Dr. Rhonda Maurice about the
Georgia? No, because I'm on it with Georgia, brother. I've contacted my relative, the seniors from Georgia here in Chicago. I'm asking them to call back home. So we know what to do, brother. We're politically aware. Thank you, Dr. Rhonda, for all you do. And thank you, Brother Tio.
All right, Brother Maurice, good stuff. All right, so.
Yeah, so he makes a good point. Absolutely, we need economic development in our communities. And, you know, here again, we're in a perfect position to make those kinds of demands for, you know, Secretary of Commerce and putting money into our communities, investing in our communities, specifically with our Black businesses. You know, one of the things that's so interesting about Chicago is at one time we had the most Black millionaires of any city in the country. And that was during a time when being a millionaire was a big, big deal. I mean, it still is, but it really was a big deal. I don't know if you remember, T.O., or you read about how we had people like Johnson Publishing, Johnson Products.
Johnson, Ebony, Jet.
Yeah.
But look here, I got something for you, Dr. Rhonda, because, you know, time is getting on us, coming up on us here. Yvette Williams, one of my social media people, she posed a question. She said, no disrespect to the doctor, but she said, what about Joe Biden's record of locking Black folks up and Ms. Hare's record of locking up a lot of Black folks? How can we remedy that situation there, in other words? Because there was a lot of mass incarceration going on during some
Absolutely.
Of the times they were around. So how do we rectify that?
Absolutely.
How is restorative justice play? Because she said, you're an educator. That's what she said. You better
right.
say, you're
and
an educator.
So, I think the last time I was on, we talked about how important it is to have at the very local levels, progressive prosecutors who are going to be more interested in restorative justice as opposed to these punitive tactics being used for any and everything. With respect to Joe Biden, we have, I think as a community of people, we have raised that issue about him being intimately tied to the crime bill over and over and over. So he has to know at this point. And Kamala Harris has to know at this point. I mean, they were calling her the top cop and really taunting her about her record. So, again, power concedes nothing without a demand. Joe Biden, as I understand it, has said he knows that what he did was wrong and that he's, you know, committed to trying to rectify some of these problems. And they actually started doing those things under the Obama-Biden administration. But as you know, because they did not have control of the Senate, a lot of the things they were trying to do, they could not do. And in fact, Obama had the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing, which Trump walked in and completely trampled over and dismantled. Remember, they had consent decrees where they were making demands of different police departments all across the country. All of that stuff has to be reinstated, and we have to be vigilant. One of the things that I want to say unequivocally is that these people will not do anything unless we make demands. Lyndon Johnson told Martin Luther King, make me do it. Barack Obama even said, make me do it. We must make them do it.
Well, you know, I have to play the devil's advocate all the time, Dr. Rhonda. Let me ask you this here. Why are Black folks so forgiving? We talk about the crime bill that led to mass incarceration for many, many African-American young men in particular, which led to the prison industrial complex, right? But
exactly.
We're so forgiving when it comes to other people. But when our people mess something up, there's no forgiveness there. Now, I want to know why are we so forgiving when it comes to other folks. Now, I understand. Now, look here, I support, you know, Biden and Ms. Harris. I have no other choice. I support it. I'm a Democrat, progressive Democrat. But this is the thing. A lot of people are still in jail because of that crime bill right today. So why are we so forgiving? I just want to put it out there. And then what difference will it make no matter who runs the Senate or the House when it comes to African-American people receiving their fair share of all the contracts, their fair share of reparations? Do you think Biden's going to push the reparations? And I'm not talking about just setting up a commission to study reparations. You know, the Jews got their reparations. The Japanese got reparations. The indigenous Indians got reparations. Do you think this administration will make reparations a priority? That's a question I want to put out there. And why are we so forgiving, Dr. Rhonda?
Yeah. So, why are we so forgiving?
Yes.
Now you're asking.
That's right, Doc.
Me put on my psychologist.
That's right.
So I would say two things.
Yes.
Well, actually three. For one, we are a loving, forgiving people because we've had to, we've been through so much. And part of, you know, people say part of the thing that comes with forgiving is that you're allowed to move on with your own life. You know, you're not consumed with bitterness and resentfulness and to the point where you become paralyzed. So that's one thing. But the other thing we just have to acknowledge is that we have been conditioned to forgive white people, right? We have been conditioned, and we've also been brutalized. You know, we've had a history of being attacked, of being brutalized, of being powerless, quite frankly.
Okay.
That's what all of this access to voting and access to the levers of power is all about. Now that, and you can see, as in the case of, like we talked about with Stacey Abrams, they're going to fight us every which way. I think sometimes we make advances and we get comfortable and we don't understand that nobody's going to give up power willingly.
Yes,
we think we've gotten ahead, just like when Barack Obama was elected. People said, oh, we're post-racial, which was the most ridiculous thing I had ever heard. And I couldn't understand why people were running around saying that. But as you can see, as soon as he got in office, they were already laying plans to try to first make him a one-term president. Okay, well, they weren't successful in doing that. But the next thing they did was they kept organizing all over the country in all these state legislatures, all these local offices. You know, this is why so many of these state legislatures are Republican, because they were doing this groundwork because they never give up. They never retreat. And we must understand that.
But you know, let me say this to you also, Dr. Rhonda, before you get out of here. Another one of my social media people, LaPaul Davis, is saying, why do we always forget about poor black people? So this is what's really crazy to me. We're making all these concessions for undocumented people. Nobody wants to talk about reparations on the other end. Nobody wants to talk about poor black people that live in Georgia as well. You know, I have family that lives in Columbus, Georgia. I know James Brown came out of Macon, Georgia. I believe Augusta, yeah. GA, and all that good stuff. So what I'm saying, he grew up in absolute poverty, too. So that's going way back in time there. But the thing is this here. Our people are in the same predicament or living in the same conditions they've been living in for the last five decades. So, you know, it's
so
like people keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, and so we have to understand the teachings of so many of our leaders. I'll just quote one, Dr. King, who talked about us being caught up in an inescapable network of mutuality tied to a single garment of destiny. Mm. So that what that means is, you know, it really doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how much money I make. You know, any of us are subject to being dragged out of a car and mistreated by the police.
Exactly.
It does not matter. I mean, we've got people like Sterling Brown who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, he just had this settlement with the police because of what they did to him. So we have to understand that we can't leave anybody behind, and we shouldn't leave anybody behind, because getting back to your question of being forgiving, we have to learn how to forgive ourselves and people in our own communities, you know, and we have to learn how to love each other and move forth as a collective, because that's the only way that we're going to get ahead to begin with.
All right, Dr. Rhonda, well, I want to thank you for calling in this morning, and feel free to reach out anytime, and I would love to have like a little time when you come back on the show every now and then weigh in on a lot of these political conversations and then the work that you do as well, okay?
Exactly. That would be wonderful.
It would be an
Thank
honor.
Thank you so much.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate you, okay?
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay, and have a nice day. All right. So that's what's going on, everybody. I want to thank Dr. Rhonda for coming on my show this morning. So the topic this morning is the Georgia Senate race, the U.S. Senate race in Georgia, and how things are going to turn out there so we can get control of the Senate to a degree. I'm also weighing out the pros and cons of Mayor Lori Lightfoot. That's what I'm weighing out this morning as well. So you can call in 773-591-1690 if you have any opinion one way or the other about the subject matter. And we're going to take another quick commercial break. And then we'll come back with the topic here, the pros and cons of Mary Lloyd Lightfoot. Take another commercial break.
Hi, this is Lo Brown, the CEO and founder of Mental Beauty Supply, a beauty company that beautifies people all over the world, inside and out, with the health, barber, and beauty supply products they just cannot live without. And this is all done via vending machine. For franchise opportunities or for more information, go to mentalbeautysupply.com or contact me at 815-793-1325. Mentalbeautysupply.com or contact me at 815-793-1325. Keep persevering, but most importantly, y'all, keep hustling.
Again, this morning with T.O., Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman. So here it is. So we're going to weigh the pros and cons of Mayor Lloyd Lightfoot right now. Now, there are some good things that Mayor Lloyd Lightfoot has done in Chicago. She stopped turning off people's water and all that kind of stuff there, which is really good because a lot of poor people could not continue to pay them high water bills. And I think she did some things, made some changes with the parking, the boot system. So in regards, like if your car gets a boot put on your car, they cannot just take your car and then continue to just add up the money when they keep your car in the city pound and all that kind of stuff. That's good stuff there. Granted, she's done some good things to the best of her ability. Now, my main concern, and remember, the views that I'm sharing right now are not views of WVON. So I have a few questions for Lloyd Lightfoot myself, and I would love to maybe get on my show one day to answer these questions because Mama D just called in, and she talked about, you know, sanctuary settlers. She talked about undocumented people. A lot of times when you mention the word undocumented, everybody think you're talking about Mexican folks all of a sudden. That's not the case all the time. What we are saying is you have black people living in poverty in Chicago, in your city, and your priority is to make sure that undocumented people receive $1,000 a month, benefits, and voters registration, and all kinds of coronavirus relief funds. But what about the 40% of black folks that are living in extreme poverty in seven different neighborhoods in Chicago? That's number one. I think that's a valid question to ask anybody, whether it be the mayor, the governor, whoever that might be. Another situation. Recently, it was stated that, and this has been backed up, everything I'm talking about is being backed up with research. You can prove what I'm talking about. She told the black alderman, the black caucus alderman, if they did not vote for her budget, the people in their wards would not receive any resources for the next 3 years. Now, who would say something like that, disrespectful like that, to the people in the wards? Let's get past the alderman for a minute. Let's think about the people that live in them wards that need their resources. If you travel throughout Chicago right now and you drive around 79th Street, 63rd Street, Madison and Pulaski, 16th and Lawndale, Austin and Division, you can see our community has a lot of issues. No economic development in sight. So you're saying you're going to withhold resources from the people in the wards because the alderman may not cooperate with you? To me, it makes no sense. So I'm asking people to call in this morning, 773-591-1690. Let's have this conversation. So let's bring Linda on the line right now. Let's see what Linda has to say about this
subject. How you doing, T.O.? You know me. I'm Warren's mother, the one that does the printing out north there.
Warren, hey, yeah, that's my main man, Brother Warren. Linda, how you doing, Linda?
All right, I'm doing pretty good. Well, first, I just want to touch on this. This will take less than 15 seconds.
No, take your time. Take your time.
Well, the lady that was on before you, okay, she was saying that black people are loving people. She's there. We're forgiving people.
Yes.
And I wish people would quit saying that because I'm not loving and I am not forgiving. I don't believe in all that prayer and Jesus is going to take care of us. I'm like Malcolm X. I believe in standing up and doing some fighting to back it up. Now, insofar as Lori Lightfoot is concerned,
yes,
I have mixed emotions on her.
Okay.
She's done some good things. She's done some horrible things. But what I don't particularly care for is this money that's going into these sanctuary areas. And I don't see a lot of it coming into the black community. I don't need it. You know, you'll never see me in land for a turkey. I'm not a rich woman, but I'm not a poor woman either. I can keep my head above ground. So that's my thing about her. And I got to see what other plans she's rolling out, but a lot in the sanctuary communities. And as I look around the city, I see it practically every nail that's driven into some wood in the black community is done by people that don't look like us. As I go through the black community, and I know every neighborhood in this city, like a lot of other black people, like a lot of people don't. I look out there, I see road construction, 95% of them don't look like us, They don't speak our language. And I would like to see blacks on these construction sites, more blacks on these construction sites. When you see black men and women working, that's money going into a black household, supporting black children, and strengthening the black community. And that's my comment.
I appreciate you, Linda. And tell Warren I said hello, okay? So, yeah, that's Sister Linda. I appreciate people calling in, weighing in the pros and cons of Lori Lightfoot. And we must speak up for our people. We have no other choice. Everybody depends on the black vote to win higher-level office. And once they get into office, they forget about African-American people on a higher level. Now, here's another situation that's very true, everybody. We have not, to this day, we have not one African-American-owned marijuana dispensary, recreational marijuana dispensary. Now, that's something the mayor allowed to move forward here in the city of Chicago. So far, $800 million has been made in the state of Illinois with these marijuana dispensaries. So somebody needs to ask the question. See, some people get mad at guys like me because I speak truth to power like a lot of other people might be scared to speak up like this. But the thing about it, it's not right. You're talking about building generational wealth. Now, I hate that we're building generational wealth when it comes to marijuana, but that is a legitimate business now. And all the young people, black, brown, or whatever the case may be, but most important, black folks that were sent to prison for selling marijuana, and now they cannot even have a stake in the business. That's the reason I was pushing peddler's license for young brothers in the hood, like the movie Boys in the Hood. Get these young brothers peddler's license because they cannot enter the big boys game and make all the millions of dollars that has been made already. That makes no sense. So the mayor, I would like to sit down and talk to the mayor about why she made a decision to allow the marijuana, the recreational marijuana dispensaries to open up, knowing there were no black-owned marijuana dispensaries. Now, those are two issues there so far, all right? We're talking about no recreational marijuana dispensaries, number one. And we talked a little bit about the fact of the COVID relief funding going to undocumented people here in Chicago, which is okay. We have no problem supporting whoever you plan to support, but do not forget to support the poor and working class black folks here in Chicago as well. Now, another issue that I see out here, these are policy issues. Now, the mayor introduced a 3-year violence reduction plan, and this year so far we have over 700 homicides, over 3,600 people shot in Chicago, and the mayor introduced a 3-year plan. What about the people being killed right now? What about the people losing their lives right now? That's what we should be focusing on. And it's a lot of money being spent in policing and violence prevention. Why is it that you present a 3-year plan and, you know, you got 3 more years in office? It really makes no sense to me personally because people are being paid to reduce gun violence and you come up with a 3-year plan. What about all the people that lost their life this year so far? That's a legitimate question we need to pose to the mayor. So these are some of the issues that people talk to me about. So I'm presenting them on my show this morning so we can have a dialogue about it, okay? So those are some of the issues that I wrote down. And then another issue a lot of people want to talk about is why did she let the bridges up on mainly black folks so they couldn't come downtown when the riots and the looting had jumped off, and knowing that only 0.1% of black folks were involved in the rioting and the looting here in Chicago. So does it make any sense to let the bridges up on some of the people that voted you into office? Because if a major catastrophe had have taken place in Chicago during that time, black folks couldn't even make it downtown or to Lake Michigan if they had to get on a boat and get away from Chicago. Let me tell y'all something. These are legitimate issues. I don't care how you put it. These are legitimate issues concerning what's going on in Chicago. Now, the pros of Lori Lightfoot, she's a woman. She became the first, other than Mayor Jane Byrne from a blast from the past, she became the second, you know, woman, female mayor of Chicago. So we're not going to go too hard on the young lady. But I would like for her to answer these questions because these are legitimate questions, brothers and sisters. And I don't want nobody tripping with me saying, well, he's coming down on the black mayor. That's not what I'm doing. I'm talking about policy right now. It's nothing personal. It's about policy. All right. So, again, you can call in 773-591-1690 if you would like to weigh in on this discussion or if you want to weigh in on the Georgia Senate race, the U.S. Senate race. So I have another caller waiting now, so we'll take this caller if they want to come on and see what they're talking about. All right, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here, T.O.
Hey, how you doing? Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Reginald Henderson. How you doing,
T.O.? Hey, everything good, bro. Everything's cool.
Well, I've been trying to catch the show, man, to
yes, indeed,
inform the people of guys like myself who's getting out of prison.
Yes.
And has been tortured by not John Birch, but his crew. You know, I was pushed out of prison 6.5 months ago after doing 26.5 years. My case has been reversed. You know, and we just, you know, just trying to find some assistance with, you know, looking out for guys like myself.
Yeah.
Get out for me to public to know that, you know, still guys like myself is lingering. You know, this is not being heard.
Okay. No, brother, I appreciate you calling. See, that's why I brought up the fact about, see, what the mayor's doing. She's looking out for the undocumented people. But what about a coronavirus relief fund for guys coming home from prison and women coming home from prison? What about helping ex-offenders, okay? So that's why I'm bringing up this subject matter, because it appears that we're just, a lot of the brothers and sisters just getting lost in the shuffle because the priority is going towards people that are undocumented. To me, you know, it doesn't make no sense. And I'm not against, I believe no human being should be titled undocumented anyway. I'm not against supporting people, human beings, but what about prioritizing the people that are already here? You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah.
You know, the guys who screams goes documenting.
Yes.
You know, after all these years of being in those tombs and come out, you know, and can't get no assistance, and those who do get assistance, you know, barely hold on to their jobs because of, you know, coronavirus and things of that nature.
No, it's rough. So I appreciate you calling me, brother, but just reach out. My website is violenceinterrupters.org. Or just reach out to me when you get a chance, okay? We can talk offline or whatever the case may be. Maybe I can help steer you in a good direction, you know, to the best of my ability, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I appreciate that, too.
Oh, yeah. Much respect. Appreciate you calling in this morning.
Yes, sir. To all the listeners, God bless, man. And when you find in your heart looking to these matters, man, that's big in our communities. Thank you all. For
without a doubt. Yes, indeed. Thank you. So that's what I'm talking about, everybody, as I wind up my show this morning. You know, we got time for maybe one more quick call if somebody wants to call in. But this is the thing here, everybody. These are important topics. The U.S. Senate race in Georgia is very important. But like I said, what's in it? Basically, how's it going to benefit black folks? That's my main question out here, because Trump was the president. Before Trump, you had Barack Obama, and now you got Biden, okay? How's it going to benefit black folks? I'm talking about the masses of the poor and working class black folks. So I might try to squeeze this last call in if I can. Let's see who we got on the line. They hung up? Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, we had another call coming in, but they hung up right now. So with that being said, I put it out there, the pros and cons of Lori Lightfoot. If you know Lori Lightfoot, and let me get her name right, Lori Lightfoot, if you know her, I want you to reach out to her, let her know T.O. Hardiman would love to bring her on my show so she can answer these questions herself for the people in Chicago. She can answer these questions, all right? And that's what I would like to see happen anyway. So we want to try to get this call right in, and then just for a quick minute here. Yeah, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, T.O. This is Madeline Sanders. You and I met at an event that Brent sponsored a couple of years ago over at Push.
I know you.
And,
I know you. Yes, indeed.
I've got your cell phone number. You gave me your number. I want to talk to you about the federal bonding program. That young gentleman who just called you.
Okay.
People like him are people who need access to that program.
Okay.
You're familiar with the federal bonding
program?
Yeah, we don't
have time to get into it right now. I just want you to make a quick comment. Then I want you to call back in a little earlier next week so we can go deeper in detail, okay?
Yeah, and I'm going to call your cell number so we can talk about it. So that when the program, you know, we'll both know what it's all about, because I'm very familiar with it.
Okay. Thank you so
much. Yeah,
I'm
going to do that.
Right on.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, my number is 773-391-9072, all right? And as I always wrap my show up, you know, I wrap up with a little song, you know, and all that kind of good stuff to show people that I'm human. So here we go. We're about to wrap it on up a little. KC and JoJo, as always, something different. They did a rendition of Stevie Wonder's record. Here we go. And I made sure I was hydrated. Here we go. Lately, girl, I've had the strangest feeling, with no vivid reason where to find. But yet the thoughts of losing you has been hanging on my